ओम विष्णु बनाय कृष्ण स्तुदे श्री मारे भक्ति वरांत स्वामी नित्य नमने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचरणे नरवशेष शून्यवादी भाषाचरेशने श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 7, chapter 7, verse 15. Rishi Karunakai Stasya
Rishi Karunakai Stasya
Prada Ubayamishpara
Prada Ubayamishpara
Dharmasya Tattvam Jnanam Cha
Dharmasya Tattvam Jnanam Cha
Mama Pudishya Nirmalam
Mama Pudishya Nirmalam Rishi Karunakai Stasya
Rishi, the great sage Narada Muni, Karunika, naturally very affectionate, tasya, to her, pradat, gave instructions, ubayam, both, ishvara, powerful controller, and dharmasya, of religion, tattvam, truth, jnanam, and mom, me, papi, especially, Udisya, indicating, nirmalam, without material contamination. Translation, Narada Muni delivered his instructions both to me, who was within the womb, and to my mother, who was engaged in rendering him service. Because he was naturally extremely kind to the fallen souls being in a transcendental position. He gave instructions on religion and transcendental knowledge. These instructions were free from all material contaminations. Third part, here it said, Dharmasya Tattvam Jnanam Cha Nirmalam. The word Nirmalam refers to spotless dharma, spotless religion, in other words, Bhagavata Dharma. Ordinary religious activities constitute contaminated religion, by which one benefits by developing material wealth and prosperity. But uncontaminated, pure religion consists of understanding one's relationship with God and acting accordingly, thus fulfilling the highest mission of life and returning home back to Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj advised that one elevate oneself to the standard of Bhagavata Dharma from the very beginning of life. The Lord himself also speaks of pure, uncontaminated religion when he says, Sarvadhamma Paritajamam Ekam Sharanam Raja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. One must understand one's relationship with God and then act accordingly. This is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma means Bhakti Yoga. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga. Pyarujitaha. Janayakyasu Vairagyam Yamam Shat Yadahaiti. By rendering devotional service under the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires a causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. To be situated at the platform of pure religion, one should perform bhakti yoga in relation to Krishna and Vasudeva. Translation of the Holy Deliverer's instructions both to me, who was within the womb, and to my mother, who was engaged in rendering service. Because he is naturally extremely kind to the fallen souls, being in a transcendental position, he gave instructions on religion and transcendental knowledge. These instructions were free from all material contaminations. So, here is the end result of protecting the mother, and that is that he, Narada, going to give instructions to both the mother and the son, because he was very merciful. And what did he teach? Dharma Sita from Gyanam Cha. Nirmala, pure, spotless, Tattva and Gyanam. Dharma Sita and Gyanam. So, we have two elements here. Tattva concerning Dharma and Gyanam. What is the meaning of dharmasya tattvam? Of course, tattva means literally truth. The word comes from another word, tat. Tat means that. And tattva means thatness. You put a syllable like tva on the end, and that gives it a little more of an abstract meaning to it. So the thatness of a thing is called tattva, which means the essential nature of a thing. That's just tattva. And in terms of course, religious life, tattva, of course, means absolute truth, not relative truth in this material world. What is the very essence of something? This is tattva. And in relation to, if it's modified by another word, meaning the truth about religion, or the truth about bhakti, or the truth about Supreme Lord, etc. So we talk about the Ishvara Tattva, the essential nature of Ishvara. Or Jiva Tattva, what is the essential nature of the Jiva? And we'll discuss his general qualities that all Jivas have in common. So, we have the dharmasya tattva, the essence of dharma. In the normal usage, the word dharma has generally the meaning of all the rituals and rules and regulations that support artha and kama. We have artha, dharma, kama, so that dharma is the rule and regulation which allows one to enjoy in the material world in a regulated way. That is dharma, the laws to allow regulated enjoyment in the senses. That of course is also not the final goal of life. And at the same time, that dharma is also useless if there's no worship of the Supreme Lord. So therefore the essence of that dharma is worship of the Supreme Lord. Without that, it also becomes useless, completely useless, and it doesn't even fulfill its objective of getting you the proper artha and kama. So therefore, the essence of dharma actually is worship of the Supreme Lord. So that is the, and of course, worship of the Supreme Lord ultimately means mamekam sharanam raja, give up all dharmas and surrender to the Supreme Lord. So it is basically again bhakti yoga. That is the essence of all dharma. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada in the introduction talks about the word dharma. And what does he say about dharma? Dharma is the essential nature of a thing, like the nature of water. What is the nature of water? That's dharma. The liquid, etc., has a certain pure taste to it. If it's ice, then it's not liquid anymore, etc. Or if it's, you heat it up, it turns into paper, it's something else. But water is liquidy. It has a certain nature to it. It gives us its definition, unique qualities. That's the dharma of a substance. So then Prabhupada talks about the, what is the dharma of the jiva, of the self, of the atma. When we analyze, then finally,
the dharma, the atma, is to be the servant of the Supreme One. He's a dependent, conscious entity. Of course, he has so many dharmas, like consciousness, sense of I. He is an enjoyer. He is a experiencer. He is a doer. He is a knower. These are his common qualities. But then the very important quality is he is dependent on the Supreme Lord. So that's his dharma. So in all cases, when he is seeing or acting or being conscious of something, knowing something, or experiencing something, he's always dependent. So that nature can never be taken away from him. In all cases, whatever he's doing. So that's his ultimate dharma, to serve the Supreme Lord, to be obedient to the Supreme Lord. Yeah? So, what is that service to the Lord? That's another, if it's done willingly, then we call that bhakti yoga. If it's done unwillingly, then of course, it is people of the material world that by nature are subject to the laws of karma, etc. And that way they are obedient to the law of the Lord. Yeah? Therefore, the dharmasyatattvam actually means to serve the Supreme Lord. And when it is done willingly, as dharma is done willingly, then it becomes bhakti. Unfortunately, if bhakti is there but it is a minor element, then we don't get the ultimate effect. So, in the Varnashram system, yes, you must have bhakti, you must accept the existence of the Supreme Lord. It has to be theistic, not atheistic, dharma. And then you get your artha dharma, whatever. But we don't call that bhakti as such. We say this is Varnashram, or this is dharma. Why we distinguish it? Because even though there is some bhakti there, the result is different. And the goal of the people doing it is different. They are doing that system not to get the love of the Supreme Lord. They're doing it to get their artha and their dharma or kama. That's what they're doing it for. And that's what they get. And they worship the Lord, and the Lord gives it all to them. So this is quite a different result. Therefore, we don't really call that bhakti at all. It's a minor aspect of the system in which it is dependent on bhakti. When bhakti becomes prominent and dharma becomes less prominent, then we can call it bhakti. But then it may be called mixed bhakti, karma mixed bhakti. Because we're worshipping the Supreme Lord, we accept his existence, etc., we're trying to get to, but we still have some material desires also. So that's called mixed karma mixed bhakti. It is better, obviously, because at least we're aiming for the Supreme Lord as our main goal, not stay in the material world. We're also trying to please him. But then again, that mixture also creates some problem. So therefore, though Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, I accept four types of people, of those the Gyani is the best. But the real one is the person who actually dedicates himself fully to me. So pure bhakti is preferred by the Supreme Lord. That gives the best result. Dharma with a little bhakti, that gives material result and elevation in the material. Mixed bhakti gives higher result beyond the material world, higher than moksha even. But pure bhakti gives something even higher. That gives us a permanent relationship with the Lord in the super spiritual world, which gives bliss, very, very great bliss. So that is the distinguishing factor in pure bhakti as opposed to mixed bhakti and other processes. So because dharma actually may have a little bhakti in it, but therefore say, oh yeah, it's good because it's got bhakti in it, recognizes the Supreme Lord's authorized. It is also classified as cheating still. Because it doesn't give you the right result. You still just get artha and karma out of it. And maybe finally you get moksha by going to jnana. You don't get prema. So therefore, at the beginning of Bhagavatam, it is said that all of these dharmas are teaching Kaitava Dharma, and they're all emphatically prochita, emphatically rejected. Okay? So in other words, the Bhagavatam is presenting pure knowledge and pure bhakti, not even mixed bhakti. What to speak of? Dharma with a little bhakti, or jnana with a little bhakti, or yoga with a little bhakti, or whatever. But those are better than no bhakti, but still, they're all rejected as cheating because they don't give you the proper result. They don't get prema. They don't give a person prema. So, therefore, we have to distinguish between these different practices. And that is why in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavatam, they're given different names, even though they're all, in one sense, spiritual, and in the scriptures, and authorized, and there's worship of the Lord there. Still, results are different, and therefore rejected. In that sense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected all these other systems when they're presented by Ramananda Roy. And he was interested only in that bhakti which gives a pure relationship with the Supreme Lord. So that is the real sadhana. So, therefore, other dharmas are finally rejected. And the essence of dharma itself is worship of the Supreme Lord. That is the essential part. So that is what Krishna says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Paritya. Completely give up all other dharmas and surrender unto the Lord. So he is indicating pure bhakti there. So this is the one of the main points presented in the Bhagavatam and in Bhagavad Gita. Very consistently, we'll see that both works present the same conclusion. After going to karma yoga, jnana yoga, stanta yoga, then finally, Krishna says, "Mame kam sarana prajati," and surrender to pure bhakti only, nothing else. And at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, it is said, "Kaitava dharma prachita," all the cheating dharmas are rejected. It's exactly the same thing as sarva dharma prajati, mame kam sarana prajati. Same thing. And again, at the end of the Bhagavatam, same thing is stated again. So very consistently, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam both present the same conclusion. So this conclusion is not some original thing which is not there in the Vedas or in the Upanishads or in other works. No, it is consistent with that also. So if we look at the Brahma Sutras, which is the summary of the Vedas ultimately, because it is a commentary in the Upanishads, which is the best part of the Vedas, same conclusion. And therefore, Bhagavatam is said to be natural commentary on the Brahma Sutras, Jana Jasayatana. He quotes the second thing there. Jiva Goswami shows that the first six sutras also are there in the first verse of Bhagavatam. Six sutras are actually there in the first part of the, in the first verse of the Bhagavatam. So, very consistently, the Bhagavatam is a commentary on the Brahma Sutras. How is that? Bhagavad Shankaracharya is given a completely impersonal interpretation of merging in Brahman with no bhakti and no form of the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, if you look at all the Vaishnavacharyas, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Balavidya Goswami, and others, what do they conclude? This Brahma Sutra is defining the nature of the Supreme Lord. What is that Brahman? It is Vishnu, it is Krishna. That's all. And the first two, there's four chapters. The first two chapters deal with establishing the nature and existence of the Supreme Lord, rejecting every other philosophy like Nyaya and Sankhya and Vaisheshika and Buddhism and Jainism and everything, rejecting everything else, including all the Vedic derivatives like Sankhya, etc., which is, they all accept the Vedas, rejects them all as useless. Rejects Shiva worshippers, rejects Ganapati worshippers, rejects all the other forms of worship, everything. Very explicitly says this. So, the first part establishes existence of the Supreme Lord as a person. A second in the canto, a second one rejects all the other philosophies. Okay. The third chapter establishes the process of bhakti. And the fourth book, the goal, it talks about entering the spiritual world in your spiritual body and joining with the Supreme Lord. So prayojana. So we get sambandha avideya prayojana presented in the Bhagavatam. And that is exactly what is presented in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma Sutras and the Bhagavatam same. Again, establishing the position of the Supreme Lord with everything secondary to him. So therefore in Sarga and Visarga and Stiti and Poshana, all these topics of the Bhagavatam, it is how the Supreme Lord is the ultimate source of everything. And he's a person. He glances over Prakriti, he enters into the material world, he gives instructions to Lord Brahma and to others. So he's actually a person. And, of course, even more important is that once the Supreme Lord is established, what is the method of approaching the Lord? And very clearly, it is bhakti alone. And pure bhakti is the best bhakti. So that is presented. So then, and then what is the goal? The goal is relationship with Krishna. So therefore, same topic as in Brahma Sutra. The Brahma Sutra is summary of the Upanishads or summary of the Vedas. So therefore, the same message is actually presented everywhere. Vedas, Brahma Sutras, and Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavatam. So we should not doubt that the conclusion of Bhagavatam is anything different from what the Vedas are giving, even though people may have other opinions about that because they take a verse here and there. If you want, you can also take a verse from Bhagavatam and interpret completely different. There was one devotee, confused devotee in Malaysia. She took all the verses supporting impersonal Brahman. So the Bhagavatam was giving us this conclusion that you merge into the Supreme Lord and you become Brahman, you become God. Look, and she gave all the other verses. And she was convinced that was the absolute truth. That was the essence of Bhagavatam. So that can be so. If you want, you can take something from Bhagavatam and quote it and support it with other quotes, etc., and then say this is the conclusion of Bhagavatam if you want to. But if we do take the consistent method of interpretation, looking at the beginning and the ending and all the repetitive states in between, then the majority of the conclusions are quite obvious for us. So, therefore, Narada Muni also is speaking the same knowledge. Narada Muni gets his knowledge directly from the Lord or through, he got the Chatusloki from Brahma. And Chatusloki again, same thing. Establishing the Supreme Lord's position, process of bhakti, goals, Brahma. Same thing again. This is the jnana which Narada Muni gives to Prahlad. Not essential knowledge. The knowledge of the existence of Lord and the his qualities, etc. How to establish a relationship by the process and the ultimate goal of that process. That constitutes proper knowledge. Okay? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all the Vedic literatures, their only subjects are three. Sambandha, Abhideya, Ayojana. These three things, that's all. Everything else is secondary to that. So that is what is presented in the Bhagavatam also. And that constitutes proper knowledge. So more than other works, the Bhagavatam is celebrated because it is the final conclusion. Of course, it will say, oh, it's too big, it's so many volumes, 12 cantos, you cannot read the whole thing. Nevertheless, it is much simpler than many other works, which are the Vedas are much faster and more difficult to understand. So, Bhagavatam is much simpler. Still, we can misinterpret also, as I said. You can just take a few verses here and there and get the wrong conclusion. And Bhagavatam purposely does that. It doesn't directly say everything to everybody. It allows you to get all sorts of foolish ideas if you want foolish ideas. You can interpret the Bhagavad as you wish. If you're a real fool. So, we have to study the Bhagavad intelligently. And find out the real meaning of the author, as Prabhupada said. What is the meaning of the speaker in the Bhagavad Gita? It's Krishna speaking. He has an intention of revealing something in a certain way. But we have to follow that intention of the speaker. And the listener has to have the proper understanding of obedience and whatever. So similar to Bhagavatam, we have to also understand it in the proper way with an intelligent mind. And fortunately, we do have the commentaries and knowledge given by the acharyas to explain us how everything is consistent and what is the true meaning of the Bhagavatam. So in that way we get our knowledge. So that is what Narada Muni is explaining to Prahlad, all the basics that are necessary for spiritual advancement. This type of knowledge is not the knowledge which is condemned, usually. The condemned knowledge is nirvisheshya, knowledge about the nirvishesh Brahman and merging into Brahman. That jnana, the sadhana which establishes Brahman alone without qualities and form, that is what is condemned. That is not favorable for bhakti. But that jnana, which gives information about the Lord and His qualities and His activities and how to perform bhakti, and what is the goal of the bhakti, that knowledge is essential. So that knowledge actually is also called bhakti. So therefore, the jnana in another sense also means bhakti. Real knowledge is bhakti. So that is necessary for our spiritual advancement. Of course, we have rare cases of mercy. The Supreme Lord or someone else can give mercy to Putana or someone without any knowledge and they end up in the spiritual world. But usually, in terms of jivas, the process is sadhana. And for sadhana, we have to have some knowledge. And then the process becomes quicker. If we don't know where we're going and we're doing some sadhana and this and that, and we don't know actually what the goal is, and we don't know why we're chanting, and we don't know who Krishna is, or whatever. Yes, some accidental result is there, like Ajnana, but quickly we cannot progress to the goal. So therefore we do need knowledge, particular precise knowledge of the nature of the Supreme Lord, His qualities, form of activities, etc., and precise nature of the process of bhakti, and what is our final goal, then we can progress nicely. So all that is presented in Bhagavatam. And that is exactly what Narada Muni gave to Prahlad. There's a verse in the 11th canto where Krishna tells Uddhava about paroksha and aparoksha. So he says, I prefer parokshavad, that means indirect or hidden statements, rather than aparokshavad, which is direct statement. Krishna's God, do bhakti, finished. That's paroksha, aparokshavad. Aparoksha is a little bit indirect and things like this. Yeah? So, of course, essentials, same. Certain aspects are hidden for unqualified people. So therefore, the hidden aspects may be, for instance, at the end of the Bhagavatam, Sukadev tells Parikshit, now you've understood everything, so now it is time to merge into Brahman. Oh, so then the Gyanis will say, oh, very good. After 10th canto, we got 11th canto, Gyanis was in 12th canto conclusion. Jnana is the ultimate version to the Supreme Lord. It's so strange. Of course, the devotees understand this is a contradiction to the very beginning of the Bhagavatam and even the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. So how can I mean that? So, this is an example of Parokshavad. This is there to bewilder the Gyanis. so that they cannot enter into and taste Krishna's pastimes. And they'll think of Jnana as the ultimate conclusion. The devotees understand there's a contradiction there, obvious contradiction, and therefore then it's only a test of Sukadeva Pariksit. Because in the very next verse, Pariksit answers, no, that's not the truth. That's not the essence of everything. So, in that sense, there's a Parokshavada there. And aspects of Rasleela or Radharani is not mentioned directly, that's Parokshavada. Because people are not qualified for approaching Radha directly. So therefore, Parokshavada is there. One gopi alone was with Krishna, etc. But they don't mention your name directly or indirectly. So those things there, because unqualified people should not enter into those pastimes. And qualified people will understand the nature of this and they'll understand it is Parokshavada taking place and they will understand the real meaning. They are more indirect, yes. Yeah, a lot of Parokshavada there, more indirect. So, relatively speaking, Bhagavatam isn't, but still, certain people are not qualified, therefore there's Parokshavada in certain places for that also.
It's
relative, yeah. So, it's more direct than all the other works, but there is some aspects which are also indirect, because the people are not qualified.
It can.
That's why it says this. The instruction is for the non-envious nirmatsaranam satam. It's for those people. And then he says rasika, pibata rasika. Those who are real tasters of rasa should drink this, not the other people, not the gyanis and the karmis and all that. So, nevertheless, Bhagavatam is merciful to everyone, so it also gives them an approach. And they can also enter in because it has presentation of Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga, Sama Yoga, and they can start reading those things and then become interested. And then they get also into pastimes of Krishna and become interested in that also. So it also helps them approach Krishna through these other topics. Yeah, that Sukadeva. Sukadeva actually is the one that does not mention directly, he does not present it directly. And then I think at the end of the Krishna Sandarbha there, and then Jiva Goswami apologizes. Well, Sukadeva is speaking indirectly, but I'm speaking directly, so I apologize for that. But I'm very bold, but I'm directly mentioning your name at the end of the Krishna Sandarbha. Then he starts praising Radharani directly, so then he apologizes for that. In order to make it clear to the devotees. So those works are actually for devotees. So therefore, he mentions directly his name. No, it's that he felt that the other people were not qualified, and therefore he didn't present it directly. The general public.
Maharaj